Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will, his own will.
Brother Chris, for reading the Word of God, and let me just again welcome you this morning to Faith Baptist Church. It is always a privilege to be here, and we know that God's at work. He's changing the lives of people. He's using difficult things, hard things, pleasurable things. God uses it all to draw us and shape us, change us into the image of Jesus Christ. Will you join me now in prayer? As we bow and go to the Lord, we're about to look into His Word, and we need help in doing that. Let's ask for His help right now. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. And our hearts truly are encouraged when we think about you, when we think about the life that you give, the provision that you put before us, that we might live a life that would truly honor you and glorify you. We can't do it by ourselves, Father. We can't do anything that would honor you. And yet you have provided all that we need for life and godliness. And even now, as we continue to worship this morning, we know that this is a blood-bought privilege, that we come before you today. We sing, we pray, we give, we listen, we do it all because Jesus has done it for us. Jesus has made the way. So, Father, help our focus now to be Jesus on this first Sunday of this new year. Help us to be reminded of your faithfulness and your graciousness and your goodness that continues. And we look forward to that time when we will stand before you through Jesus Christ, knowing that it's through him, because of him, and all that he's done that provides this great grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 In the month of December, we have looked at some very clear, powerful revelation about Jesus Christ from the first chapter of Hebrews. And so on this first Sunday of 2015, we'll take one more look at Jesus from the book of Hebrews. In chapter 1 of Hebrews, there are no commands to the church. We've spent now the month of December looking at chapter 1. There are no commands to the church in chapter 1 of Hebrews. We're not told to do anything. The whole chapter is about Jesus. And the writer says very clearly that Jesus is God's final word to the world. And notice what he says here in Hebrews chapter 1. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is heir of all things, verse 2. He made the world, verse 2. He is the radiance of God's glory and exact representation of God's nature, verse 3. He upholds all things by the word of his power, verse 3. He made purification for our sins, verse 3. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, verse 3. He is greater than any angel, verse 4, because all the angels will worship him, verse 6. He is God, verse 8. And he sits at God's right hand where no angels or no one or anyone will ever sit. Verse 13 and 14. That's Jesus. And so the message of Hebrews chapter 1 is loud and clear. God has spoken to us by his Son, and His Son is revealer and creator and sustainer and ruler and redeemer of the world. And again, when we look at Hebrews chapter 1, there are no commands. None. Only the declaration and the exaltation of Jesus, the final and full Word of God. That's Jesus. So now the writer, through the Holy Spirit, has our attention. If you're reading and you're studying through the book of Hebrews, you come to the end of Hebrews chapter 1, and it's one of those wow. It's one of those passages that just should leave you weak-kneed and humble before God to realize who Jesus is. And you walk away from that passage in complete awe of God and Jesus and who He is. And that's the effect it should have on us. And so the writer by the Holy Spirit has our attention now. And we're thinking about Jesus. And we're looking at Jesus. And folks, that's always a good thing and a needed thing and a blessed thing for Christians. So what then does the writer say to us, to Christians, in Hebrews chapter 2 about Jesus? I want you to notice that he gives three statements to two kinds of people about Jesus. Now the people are those who listen to Jesus and those who don't listen to Jesus. Now folks, those same people are here today. There are people here today who listen to Jesus. There are people here today who don't listen to Jesus. So what does the writer say? Let's look now, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I want you to notice, first of all, that the writer gives us a command. It's the first command of the book. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. It's here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, that we see then the first command of the entire book of Hebrews. And if you read through the book of Hebrews, you'll see that it's full of commands. Not in chapter 1, but beginning in chapter 2, full of commands to believers. But the connection to Hebrews chapter 1 is very important. Hebrews 2 begins with the word therefore. Chris mentioned that when he read the passage. For this reason is what the writer says. And so these beginning words of Hebrews chapter 2 are based on everything that he said in Hebrews 1. And so because God has spoken by His Son in these last days, and because His Son is the revealer, the creator, the sustainer, the ruler, the redeemer of the world, then we must give more earnest heed to the things we've heard. Or to say it another way, we must give all the more careful attention to the things we've heard. Now don't let this truth pass through your thinking too quickly, because based on who Jesus is, Hebrews chapter 1, we need to listen to Jesus. We need to hear Jesus and listen to Jesus. So the first command, the first directive mentioned in this book is this: give careful attention to the Word of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, God has spoken to us, and He's spoken by His Son. Listen to Him. Listen to Him carefully. Now this hits us right where we live. What do you listen to? Whom do you listen to? We think about it in our lives, and folks, we're bombarded with sounds. We are surrounded with voices. On every hand, there are people who speak. There are groups that speak. There are things that we hear. We are bombarded with those things that come to our ears. And yet, we look at this passage of Scripture and we see that God has spoken to us through His Son. And the question is, do you listen to Him? And how does your listening to Him compare to your listening to other things? And so again, we step back and we consider this. If we want to listen to someone or something, then we make provisions for the listening. If you wanted to listen to the Hawkeye football game on Friday, you made provisions to listen. Maybe you turned it off quickly, if you did listen. If you want to listen to something on the radio, then you make sure you have a radio. You make sure you turn it to the right channel. Or if you want to listen to the news, you make sure you have a TV and you make sure you listen at the right time. If we want to hear something, if we want to listen to something, we make provision for that. Whether it's TV or books or newspaper or radio or music, if we want to listen to something, we make arrangements to do so. So then how does all this compare to our listening to God's Word to us in His Son, Jesus Christ? Are you listening to Him? Are you making provision for Him? Are you devoted to this kind of listening? The writer of Hebrews gives this first command in the book, and he says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Now look again at verse 1, because the writer also gives us an urgency in this command. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. And so the writer of Hebrews then is saying that Christians must listen to God's Word in Jesus. And it is of the utmost importance and urgency that we do this. We see it in His words. He says, give the more earnest heed, or give the more careful attention. And folks, that means that we can't treat this casually. We can't act as if we already know everything there is to know. We can't act like we've heard everything there is to hear from Jesus or about Jesus. We can't have the attitude that there is nothing to gain from listening to Jesus, because there is an urgency here in these words. One translation says it well. It is exceedingly necessary to give heed to Jesus as the Word of God. Now please, this morning, don't think that this is just an isolated command in the book of Hebrews, because the writer is very concerned that these Christians have taken their eyes off Jesus. We mentioned that last week as we looked at the last part of Hebrews chapter 1. He's concerned that they may be slipping and sliding and drifting and falling away. And folks, the issue here is not losing salvation. The issue, as you study the book of Hebrews, is this: is it real in the first place? So he's not talking about losing salvation. He's talking about, is it genuine? Is it real? Because there were people who made professions of faith, who said they've placed their faith in Jesus, and yet they were slipping and drifting and falling and fading away and not coming to Jesus and staying with Jesus and persevering with Jesus. And folks, if you don't think that that is not a challenge within a church, it is a challenge. And even today, we can think of those that we love and those that we care for and those who were a part of us and have not continued. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. And so he says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, he says, consider Jesus. And he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, look to Jesus. And so this then is a major theme in this book. and it must be a major theme in our Christian lives. We must consider Jesus and listen to Jesus and focus on Jesus and stay close to Jesus. And if we do, we will learn about Jesus and we will keep Jesus in our thoughts and we'll think about what Jesus is like and what Jesus says and what Jesus does. And folks, if that is a description of our lives, then something amazing is going to take place in our lives. Then we're going to become like Jesus. And our lives are going to be changed as He is our focus and He is the goal of our lives. And this is one of the great burdens of this book that we call the Epistle to the Hebrews. So we must with urgency, the writer says, with great necessity and great importance, know how serious it is to listen to the Word of God, Jesus, and consider Him and look to Him. And we think about that this morning. It's not a difficult command. Listen, look, consider. These are not hard things to do. Unless we don't want to do them. So at this point, the writer's not commanding us to labor for Jesus, but to listen to Jesus. The writer's not saying to work for Jesus, but watch Jesus. And how important that is. How very critical that is in our Christian lives. Because frankly, it's the evidence of true salvation. As we look to Jesus and consider Jesus and focus on Jesus, and it's exceedingly necessary for our spiritual growth and change in our lives. Hold your place in Hebrews and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and look with me at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Here's how Paul says it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He says, but we all, and he's talking to believers, but we all with unveiled face, uncovered face, not like Moses who covered his face when he came off of the mountain with the law, but with unveiled face, uncovered face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Folks, what that means is this, that as we behold the glory of the Lord, we will be changed. As we look to Jesus, as we watch Jesus, as we see Jesus, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we will be changed. And so it's absolutely critical in our lives that we behold and look and listen and consider Jesus. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 2 and look at the last part of that first statement, because there's a great danger if we don't listen. In other words, it's absolutely critical that we do listen to Jesus, the Son of God and the Word of God, because if we don't do this, we will drift away. And we will drift away to destruction. He says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Consider that phrase just for a moment. Drift away. Simply means to float. It means to be carried along. So think in your minds just for a moment. A river. And a piece of wood, or a leaf, or a dead fish. And it takes no life, no motion, no effort to float or to drift. Do nothing, and you'll float. Do nothing, and you'll drift away and float away. When I was a boy, there was a river near our home in which during the summer, we would spend a lot of time on that river as boys. We would swim in that river. We would fish in that river. And there were deep holes in that river where we did most of our fishing and swimming, and what a great time we had. But there were some stretches on that river that were a mile long, and the water wasn't that deep. It was actually shallow, but you could lay back on your back and you could float for a mile. Didn't have to do a thing. Just lay back and float. Drift on that river. This is what the writer's saying here. He says if we don't listen and pay attention and give earnest heed to the things we've heard of God's Word through God's Son, Jesus Christ, we'll drift away. We will float by in life. And think about it this morning, folks. You've seen it happen. You can think of people that have drifted away, floated away. Perhaps it's happening in your life right now. You're beginning to drift. You're beginning to float. This is what the writer's saying. And there's no urgency. And there's no vigilance in your life. And there's no listening. And there's no considering. And there's no fixing your attention on Jesus. Folks, do you ever go days without thinking about Jesus? Do you ever go hours without thinking about Jesus? You see, the result is not standing still in our Christian lives when we take our eyes off Jesus. The result is we will drift away. We will fade away and float away. And drifting away is a deadly thing in the life of a Christian. Years ago, and maybe I've shared this before, but my dad and myself and my uncle and my cousins would make a trip to Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. And we would go there for the specific reason to surf fish. Great fishing. You'd throw your line out at Cape Hatteras into the Atlantic Ocean and you would not know what you'd catch. I mean, you could catch anything. And it was great, but the old fisherman there told us two things. When you surf fish. First of all, they said, don't wade too far out in the surf. And number two, don't ever fish alone. Now, why was that? Because the tide could grab you and take you out to sea, and no one would ever know it. You could drift away. So it is in our spiritual lives. There's one remedy. Pay attention to what you've heard. Consider what you hear. Consider what Jesus says. Listen and look and fix your focus on Jesus. Because folks, if we don't listen to Jesus, if we don't fix our eyes on Him, if we're not satisfied in who He is for us, then our sinful desires will push us and pull us away from the bank, and we will drift away. And if we keep drifting and moving away from Jesus, we will prove that we never knew Him in the first place. And so the writer gives us a command. Listen to Jesus. And he tells us that it's urgent. Give earnest heed. But then notice a third statement in this passage. And it's a warning. There are several warnings in the book of Hebrews. This is the first. He says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. Now let's put this together. What's the writer telling us? This one that we're to pay attention to listen to fix our eyes, to fix our focus on is Jesus. And He is the revealer. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the ruler. He's the redeemer of the world. Now, who he is and what he has to say, the writer describes here as a great salvation. And it is. It's a great salvation. Look at verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And then look carefully, because that means if we choose not to listen to Jesus and consider Jesus and fix our eyes on Jesus, then we are scorning or neglecting His importance as described in Hebrews chapter 1, and we are turning away from this great salvation. Now, why would anyone want to do such a thing? Why would anyone want to turn away from so great a salvation? And the answer has to be that if we regard something else more important or more valuable than Jesus, then we will neglect this salvation. We will turn away from this great salvation. As a matter of fact, when we think about what a true Christian is, it's someone who's placed their faith and their confidence and their trust in Jesus Christ alone. And their trust in Him is for life now and for eternity. And they've been born again. And they have a new nature within them. And the Holy Spirit indwells them. And they value Jesus. And they see the worth of Jesus. And they love Jesus. And they listen to Jesus. And they do what Jesus says to do. And so how dangerous it is if we neglect this great salvation. How dangerous it is if we don't listen to Jesus and consider Him. And the result, the writer says, is we will not escape. Will not escape. And I would take that to mean that we will not escape judgment. Will not escape condemnation. An eternal separation from God in hell. You see, not listening and not considering and not looking to Jesus can lead to a drifting and a neglecting and no escape. And folks, the mark of the true child of God is not that they don't drift, but they don't drift for long. They don't drift forever. Their life is not characterized by a drifting. Amen. And if you're drifting today, one of the evidences of true salvation is you don't like it. And you're convicted because you're drifting. And you're ashamed because you're drifting. And you know it's not right. And there's a part of you that says, return. Come back to the bank. Come back to the shore and stop drifting. But if you're drifting and you don't care and there's no desire to guard against it, then that's evidence that you're not truly born again. Now look at why we will not escape. Verses 2 and 3. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? If the word spoken by God through angels was steadfast and every transgression received a just reward, penalty. Now, someone greater has come than angels. See, that's chapter 1. Someone greater has come. And God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And God has revealed. God has revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus has declared God by His words, by His actions, by His life, by His death. And Jesus shared His word with the apostles who followed Him. And God confirmed the word of Jesus they spoke by giving them special signs and wonders and miracles and gifts. And they wrote it down. And we have it today. We carry it in our hands. And it's called the Bible, the Word of God. And if we neglect Jesus and the word that He spoke, then folks, we are more guilty than the Old Testament people who disobeyed the word of God given through angels. Why? Because someone greater has come. And God has spoken and given His final word through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we will not escape. So do you see why then this morning that we should share the Word of God, the Word of Jesus to our families? Do you see why this morning that we as a church must share the Word of God in Sunday school, in morning worship, in Sunday evening services, in Tuesday Bible studies, in discipleship groups, in Wednesday's kids' ministries, in college ministries, in teen ministries? For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And folks, we don't want you to neglect this great salvation. We want you to listen to Jesus. And so kids and teens and college students and couples and families and seniors and men and women, listen to the words of Jesus. Because if we don't, we shall not escape. And so now the question then confronts us. We've looked at the words of the writer of Hebrews this morning. That therefore in verse 1 is a big therefore. Takes us back to chapter 1 and it moves us to action. Command is laid before us. But the question now confronts us, what group are we in? Do we listen to Jesus? Do we look to Jesus? Do we focus and fix our life on Jesus? Or are we drifting away and neglecting this great salvation? Two groups here this morning. Two kinds of people here this morning. Those who listen to Jesus and those who don't. What group are you in? Let's bow our heads. Father, we can't thank You enough for Your Word. We think of this passage before us this morning. We think of, in our human reckoning of time, we're beginning a new year, and God, the words of the writer of Hebrews press upon us. Help us to listen to Jesus. And Father, we acknowledge this morning that for those who are born again and have a new nature and have the Spirit of God and have that new life, there is a desire to listen to Jesus. Sometimes we struggle because of that sin nature that's within us, and there's a fight and there's a struggle, and God, we acknowledge that even the struggle is evidence of that true salvation. But God, how we need Your help. We think of the words of Jesus Himself when He said, "Without Me you can do nothing." How we need Your help. Help us to listen to Jesus and look to Jesus and keep our lives focused on Jesus. Father, this morning, if there's anyone here today Perhaps someone who's made a profession of faith, but they've been drifting. God, I pray today would be the time when the drifting stops, and that there would be a decision and a devotion and a looking and a listening, a returning to Jesus. And Father, if there's anyone here today who's not placed their faith in you through Jesus Christ, God, we pray for your work in their hearts. Grant them repentance. Bring them to yourself. We pray, God, that you would do this, that you would grant mercy and grace upon them, and they would trust you and believe you through Jesus this day. Help us, Father. We live in a world that is swallowed up by sin. We struggle each day with the sin within us. And yet, God, we lift up voices of thanksgiving, knowing that you have saved us and you've given us all that we need to live lives that would glorify you. May we do that now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.